Well, we know Central Ohio has the best football team. Did you know we have the best credit union, too? It's easy to fall for CME, Ohio's number one credit union, recognized nationally and statewide by Forbes and rooted right here in Central Ohio. CME Federal Credit Union. Bank with the best. Membership subject to eligibility. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. Visit CMEFCU.org for additional details.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
And I think just like that, we are, in fact, ready to go for a Friday open form edition of Cabali and Mac. Kaboom, are you laying on the locker room floor down on the south side? Is that what's going on there with the mailbag behind you?
Yeah, you know, I think it might be my new gimmick. Just change backgrounds every single week.
What? The baby grand piano behind you in one of those backgrounds wasn't real? What do you...
I'm actually, we're actually broadcasting live from the locker room. This is, looks like Heinz Field, Acrisure Stadiums.
No, call it Heinz Field. I'm never calling it Acrisure Stadium. I don't want to do that.
Don't step on the logo. I think that logo is okay to step on.
Honestly,
I don't even think that logo exists. I don't even know where that
is. It's a big circular one, isn't it?
Yeah, they still got, those expansions around it in at the south side because you can't step on it.
I haven't been down there in a while. I can't believe they have stanchions around it.
We can do a whole podcast about why putting logos on the ground if you don't want it there. You don't want me to step on it. Why are you putting it on the ground?
Don't put it on the floor. Exactly. We could do that. It is an open forum Friday, and there are lots of questions to get to. We ask for questions on just about anything and everything, and we'll get to as many of them as we can. We'll also rank our five favorite sports movies of all time. And judging by some somewhat cryptic posts you put out late last night, I have an idea of what one of the movies you're going to name is going to be.
I guess I was watching the movie channel.
The movie channel? What are you, 75?
I don't know.
The movie channel? What was it? Was it TBS?
I think it's TMC. Isn't that the movie channel?
There's no, that's Turner. Or I thought there was Turner Classic Movies, but that acronym doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hell if I know. Doesn't matter.
I click around on Netflix and stuff like that, and I get so frustrated because I can't find anything.
You are 75.
You know, it's like, what am I looking at? Why are you suggesting this to me? I would never watch this in a million years.
All right, we'll get to our top five favorite sports movies in honor of Bob Uecker, who died yesterday at the age of 90, who was a fantastic human by all accounts. The highlight of 2 years doing Pirates pre- and post-game shows for me was getting to meet Uke and talk to him for a couple of minutes. It was worth all the BS of watching bad baseball for 2 years. But real quick, you mentioned this before I went on the air yesterday. Uh-oh. You have to drive your kid up the hill to his bus stop for school, right?
Yeah, it's even worse than that because it's two of them.
Okay.
And one bus is at 8 and one's at 8:15.
So... And I told you, you got to just complain to the bus garage.
We have. They said they're making some excuse up that they can't come down.
Be louder. They'll get it done. Get more people from your neighborhood to complain.
They are upset.
So do that. Get people to complain. And people will, they'll eventually give you a bus stop. But also, how did you handle at-home schooling yesterday? Because there was no school in our school district. There was school, but they had to do it at home because, I don't know, they were worried there would be snow at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah, you know, they've planned ahead with this stuff. They give the second grader a packet.
Okay.
I guess you're allowed to have 5 days where
FID days, flexible instruction days, they call
them. So they're like, pull out packet number two.
Uh-huh.
Now, the fourth grader, she does everything on iPad and Zerm and stuff like that. So I didn't have to worry about that. But, you know, I was reading about the difference between Venus and Earth. And he'd look at me and goes, "We're learning about Uranus, too." I'm like, I said, "Actually, no, it's Venus and Earth. It's not Uranus."
Oh, God. And
he gives me the look like, "You have no idea what that means, boy."
So you helped with science then, I guess? Like, I helped with math with my son. He needed some help multiplying fractions.
I can handle his math. It's adding. Now, we get to the fourth grader, forget it.
Yeah.
We're doing, like, breaking things down. And I'm like, I could tell you the answer, but I can't tell you how I got to the answer the way they want you to get to the answer.
Oh, yeah. No, they want you to do, like, I can't even describe how they want you to do it. It doesn't make any sense. But
regrouping, I'm like, I have no idea what regrouping means.
Yeah, it's called carrying. I carry the one over to the next column, and then I add it in there. It's not,
you know what I do? I say, hey, look at this. Hey Siri, what's 28 divided by 12?
Then you get the answer.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. That's okay. How I do it. Good work by you.
Oh, my goodness. Here's the funniest thing is, Siri just heard me and said 23.3 on my phone. It was sitting right next to me.
I don't think that's the right answer, but let's 2.3. Go with it.
It was 2.3.
Okay, whatever. This would normally be the spot where once our sponsors are on board, we would tell you about one of those wonderful sponsors. And if you'd like to be one of those wonderful sponsors of Kabali and Mac, by all means, you know how to reach out to each of us on social media. We're available. Come find us. DMs are open, as they say, and we'll be more than happy to welcome you on board as we talk to some folks already.
I'm hearing rumors, Mac, that people really want to jump on board. So get on.
Things are cooking already, Kaboom. Things are cooking already.
Cooking gas.
Yes. So let's before we jump into the top five sports movies, give me your picks for this weekend, the divisional round games. Who you got?
Probably chalk, right?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know.
Like, Chiefs, I see having no problem with the Texans.
Yeah.
And I think it's a 9-point spread.
I wouldn't say that because they haven't really blown out anybody except the Steelers this year, really. So, Mixon's hurt.
The Chiefs have had time to rest and get ready.
I'm still, you know, if I'm going to BetQL, I'm taking the Texans.
Good work by you.
Points. Give me the points.
You're going to take the points.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs will win, but I think it'll be a touchdown.
What about the Bills and the Birds?
That's a tough one.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I hate to pick the Ravens, but I think they're just too well-rounded for Buffalo at this point.
See, plus, I think Josh Allen's just too good. Plus Lamar's amazing, but like Josh
whipped them.
Yeah, I don't know. There's Baltimore's defense, I mean, you saw it firsthand last weekend. Baltimore's defense is completely different from what it was 2.5 months ago or whatever, whenever they made the switch. But something tells me if I'm counting on one of these quarterbacks to make a mistake at some point when it can't be made, I'd take my money on Lamar making the mistake before Josh Allen makes the big mistake. But you're right. That game's ridiculous. It's impossible to predict. I think the NFC side is much more likely to see some surprises. I would not be shocked to see the Rams go into Philly and win.
I don't think so. Philly's just a tough place to play. You have to love how Barkley's playing. I don't think so. I think the Rams are a little bit phony.
Phony
baloney. They might be the worst team left in the playoffs, right? I just don't buy him. I mean, I think Kyren Williams is really.
That's what I was going to say. They can run the ball.
They provide with him over the last what? Not. I mean, he wasn't really much of a threat in the first half of the season, but his exposure to this offense has really made a difference. But I mean, they're pretty much one trick pony offensively, as in the running passing game I'm talking about, because Cooper Kupp is just he's done. I mean, you cover Puka and what do you got, really? So I'm liking the Eagles there, maybe even double-digit victory on that one.
And I think the Commanders are live against the Lions, too. I know the Lions' defense isn't nearly as bad as it was maybe last year at this time or even earlier this year, but they're banged up. Jaden Daniels is red hot. Their defense is bad, too. Like that, they could put 70 points on the board between those two teams. But I think the Lions will get out alive, but I think it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson's more worried about interviewing somewhere else, right? I still like the Lions relatively easy in this one. It's going to be an interesting NFC championship game, I think, between the Eagles and Lions. But I mean, the closest game I'm looking at this week is probably Ravens, Bills. And I don't even know how close that might be. It might be another just whitewash weekend here.
You think? All chalk from Kabali in the divisional round. It's disappointing.
Well, almost. I mean, I guess Buffalo is a higher seed, right? So.
No, Buffalo's the two. Baltimore is the three.
Yeah, so I'm not picking chalk if I'm picking Baltimore.
Okay. I got you. Sorry.
Jeez, stay with me.
Sorry, you're moving too fast, Kabali. All right. So we'll get to the mailbag in just a second. You can see it sitting behind Mark right now, waiting to be picked through all of your questions. He just put his piece up online as well for the Pat McAfee Show on X. Go to Kabali's account there. He answered a good 20 of the 150 questions he got. And some of those may be repeats for our open forum Friday as well.
I got to give a shout out to my man D-Bone for this graphic behind me.
Yeah.
D-Bone.
Did he come up with the Photoshop of you on Otis's frame?
I don't know if that was him or Zito. I'm not quite sure. Zito sent that to me, so he's not taking credit for it. But
I will say of Photoshopped images that exist of Mark Kabali, or really many people, the majority of people, that may be the best one I've ever seen.
The Otis one?
Yes.
I saw him. He was at PPG for December 27th for the house show. For such a big man, you know what I noticed about him?
Nimble.
He got tiny feet, man.
Oh, tiny?
Really tiny feet.
Really?
Yes. I couldn't keep my feet eyes off his feet. I'm like, yes, I wear like size 6.5.
All right, Rex Ryan, cool it over there. Top five sports movies in honor of Bob Uecker passing away at the age of 90. I know we're gonna have disagreements on this list, but I'll let you go first. I told you to send me the list so I could make a cool graphic, but you didn't. You want to surprise me?
You told me that? I don't remember that.
Good job paying attention by you, Kabali. Go from five down to one. List your top five sports movies of all time, and then I'll give you mine.
Here's the problem with this is what do you consider a sports movie?
That's up to you. It's your definition. I think best sports movies of all time, there's got to be a decent dose of sports involved. And it's also got to be a pretty good movie, but it's got to be rewatchable, right? Like you got to feel like you're flipping through the channels and you come up on the movie channel like you did last night. You see a movie, you could jump in the middle of it. All of these things, it all figures into what your formula is for the best sports movie.
So I can't say Braveheart then?
What the hell sport do they play in Braveheart?
Oh, some sort of sport. Well, they threw the rock. Braveheart. They threw the rock off the guy's head.
That's not a sport, Kabali.
That was sports back then, right?
Like, I would go so far as to allow you to classify, for example, The Big Lebowski as a sports movie. Jesus, who are you? You've never seen The Big Lebowski?
No.
Why not?
It doesn't interest me.
I don't understand how you went through like the early 2000s. We're pretty much the same age. And at no point you weren't hanging out with some friends somewhere, having some beers and some pizza, and The Big Lebowski didn't come on.
And like I said, I don't really have much of a...
social life?
I already know what your number one is. I don't even have to think about it.
Well, I've kind of given it away, haven't I?
I don't know.
What do you think it is?
Oh, I think it's Miracle for you.
Not so fast, my friend. We'll get to it in a second. That is on my list, Miracle. I still get goosebumps when I watch that. Like, I don't know what the ending's going to be.
Either that or Icarus.
What the hell is Icarus?
I have no idea.
All right, give me your top five. Count them down. What's number five?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go number five. You're never going to hear this. You have no idea what this movie is. It's a 1985 HBO classic baseball movie. You know how HBO used to do movies?
Mm-hmm.
Long Gone. Stud Cantrell. One of the most underrated baseball movies of all time. What a cast of four soon-to-be superstars that was in there.
Was oh, wait. Are you picking this because they filmed it at McKechnie Field?
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Long Gone is a 1987 baseball film.
William Peterson, Virginia Madsen, Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah, him too.
Larry Riley, Penn and Teller, and which one of those ones? Teller. Oh, it's just an absolute great. Plus, they have a great scene about Stan the Man Musial in there. Oh,
I'm going to be honest.
Great movie.
If you had suggested something that I went and looked up and thought, okay, this is something crazy I've never heard of before, but it looks intriguing, I would have gone and tried it maybe later today, tonight even. I'm looking at the. I mean, the first sentence of the plot line, the first two sentences lose me. The what? Tampico Stogies are a last-place baseball team based in Tampico, Florida. The team competes in the lowest-level Class D Professional Gulf Coast League during the summer of 1957. I'm done. I'm out. I'm
telling you, it's a great movie.
I don't believe
you. I think you can watch it free on YouTube too.
It must be great then.
I think you can.
What's number four for you?
No, I'm going sticking with baseball. Very another underrated movie. Asterisk 61.
Asterisk
61. The Roger Maris pursuit, yeah. Or the I guess the Mark McGuire pursuit of Roger Maris is
it's about Roger Maris. It has nothing to do with Mark McGuire, right?
Well, McGuire was in it because that's the year he broke it,
right?
Or a year or two later. So a lot of it has to do with McGuire. Well, the beginning part has McGuire and Sosa. A lot of Mickey Mantle relationship. What he had to do with deal with Mantle being the typical Yankee and Maris being the guy that just came from Kansas City. Very, very interesting movie. I love it.
Okay, I'll accept that as top five. I don't know, but I'll take it. What's number three?
Top five. I'm not going stock here. I'm going outside the box.
Yeah.
Number three movie. This is where you get a little iffy. I'm just going to go three with Rocky. I mean, I can't leave Rocky out.
No, you can't. I know our friend Mark Madden likes to say that Rocky isn't real, and that's a fact. It's a fun thing to throw in the face of people from Philly. Rocky isn't real because it's true. That's but right. It's a great freaking movie, man.
Yes. I mean, Rocky. I go Rocky 1, 3, 4, 2, 5. That's my ranking. After that, I don't watch it.
Creed 1, 3, 4, 2, 5. Yeah. You haven't seen any of the Creed movies?
Nah.
They're good. You should do it. If you like the Rocky series, you'll like Creed. I promise. One, three, four, two. Three is the one with Mr. T and Hulk Hogan, right?
Yeah.
That's why you have it. See, I would go
me for what?
1, 4, and then 2, 3, 2, 5. I hold Rocky 4 in higher esteem.
Really?
Than Rocky 3. Yeah. Because it's the whole classic good versus evil, Cold War deal.
Did you see it as Southland 9?
No, my cousins from the North Hills took me to see it. So it was that one out on McKnight by like Babcock Boulevard. There used to be a theater out there. I don't know if it's still there or not. So yeah, that's where I saw Rocky IV as a little kid. What's number two for you?
Man, a movie that I have to put on there just because you quote it so much.
Yeah.
Remember the Titans.
Classic. Yeah. Classic. Just strong quit. Side.
I mean, There's not a sports movie that I've watched that has a realistic ending either. And this one might be the most unrealistic ending ever, but we accept it for some reason, you know?
Because it's Disney-fied because it is a Disney movie, but it's not so Disney-fied that it's like, I don't know. There's it, it's right up. It's along the same lines as Miracle for, you know, loosely based on a true story. Miracle's more a little more accurate to the true story, but like you feel some tension, unlike a regular Disney movie where it's like, okay, there's no princesses involved. I guess is the point I'm trying to drive home here.
Unless
it's a good Disney
tier.
Fair.
You only got
it's also the most meme. It might be the most memeable sports movie too. Like, scroll through memes, and there's a ton of Remember the Titans ones.
Yeah, you know, and just like, yeah, Varsity Blues was right outside my top five. And when you have guys like Billy Bob as a guard.
Puke Rally!
Or guys like what's his name now from Remember the Titans? I can't remember.
Who are
the
you?
The guard, the big guy.
The big guy.
Louis Lastic.
Oh, Louis Lastic
going about seven bills at the time. Quite unrealistic at that point right there.
A little bit.
You know, they got the garbage tight end. I mean, honestly, okay. Yeah, that was probably the first place I've ever heard the word Omaha.
Really?
I think, you know, Louis Lastic caught an audible.
You think
Omaha,
Peyton...
Bugs, Omaha, Omaha.
You think Peyton got it from there?
I don't know.
It's a hell of a question. Who's calling you?
Somehow my 13-year-old niece. How could she be allowed to call me from her school?
I don't know. That's...
I'm not answering.
All right. Cool. What's your number one sports movie of all time?
Do you have to ask?
Go ahead. Just say it.
The Karate Kid.
Yeah. I knew it. I called it. I predicted it. It wasn't hard to do. I tagged Billy Zabka in a tweet in hopes that he would see it and respond. We'll see if that happens or not.
I saw Macho at the last time the Steelers played at the Jets. It was like Macho Day or something.
What?
When the Steelers lost their last three games in the Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph era.
Oh, Macho New York, you mean.
Threw him up on the screen.
Yeah.
Everybody like yelled for my attention. I'm like, am I this transparent?
Yes, you are. I thought you meant like 3 months ago when the Jets were here. I was like, what the hell was it Ralph Macchio Day at Heinz Field for? But
no, I don't know if it was Ralph Macchio Day, but I call it Ralph Macchio Day.
Every day is Ralph Macchio Day for you.
There's just so much good stuff about the Karate Kid. I mean,
are you all caught up on Cobra Kai?
Oh, yeah, we're waiting. I guess we got another month before the final six episodes of the series.
I feel like I need to binge that so I can get up to speed with you.
Yep. They did three. I think they did three six-show finale here. It's not so far. It hasn't been the best of the group of the Cobra Kais. So, I mean, once you start going to, like, the Saikai Taikai in Barcelona – for a tournament, and I'm like, okay,
yeah, it's going a little far.
We're jumping the shark a little, but it's still entertaining.
Speaking of which, you called me the Fonz earlier, talking about jumping the shark. That picture, those pictures that I posted, or that I put on the what they call the thumbnail for this episode of the show that'll go up on YouTube later.
Yeah.
That is legitimately one of the better pictures of you. Like, I think you look like a nice person. You look. You know, you try so hard, Mon Valley kid, to like look tough in all your pictures. You look like a nice, genial guy in that picture. And I look like a douche because I got my hat turned to the side and my sunglasses down.
I look like
a jerk, which I can be sometimes.
Well, you do got a Penn State hat on, so.
Fair enough. I accept that criticism.
I mean, I don't know. That was a picture of you being like cool. Look at me in my shades and me going, I don't know.
You were smiling. It's okay to smile in pictures.
So we know that was Photoshopped then because that doesn't happen.
No, I found that. It's you. It's actually from a video of you on Pat's show between Pat and AJ.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And you were smiling. So Pat probably said something funny and you chuckled and you smiled. And I got it.
No, I think that's when I almost fell off the chair.
No, it's not when you were on the chair. You were zoomed in, conferenced in. You weren't there in Indy.
I was there for the owner's meeting, and the chair was like 117 feet in the air. And It's like you got to press off your ankles and your Achilles, and I'm like, oh my goodness, and they're like lifting me up and stuff. Yeah. It's very embarrassing.
All right, so your top five were, run them down again real quick.
Oh man,
you forgot them already.
Long Gone, 61. I forget what number. Rocky.
Remember the Titans
and Karate Kid One. Okay. The Karate Kid.
All right, real quick, I'm going to go through mine, and you're going to make fun of me probably.
Yes, I will.
Number five, I have a tie because I'm allowed to do that. It's Remember the Titans and another one you mentioned, Varsity Blues. Like, those are I know this is going to come off as blasphemy for a guy from Western PA, but the two best high school football movies ever are Remember the Titans and Varsity Blues. All the Right Moves pales in comparison. I'm sorry. I'm gonna say it. 6'2 stack monster. So Remember the Titans and Varsity Blues I have tied at number five. You don't have a problem with either one of those, do you?
I mean, I don't really believe the tie thing. That's cheating. But
it's not cheating. They're both great in their own way.
Now you got top six then.
No, it's okay, fine. Top six. I didn't cheat. I had a tie. I couldn't decide between Remember the Titans or Varsity Blues, so they're both at number five. Don't get technical with me. Number four, you thought I was going to make it my number one. Miracle.
Oh.
Yeah. I love it. It's just, I still get goosebumps and well up when the ending comes and Jim Craig's, you know, waving to his dad in the stands and all. Even though I know they're going to beat the Russians, doesn't matter. I still feel like this amazing swell of patriotism. So number four for me is Miracle. Number three, you already mentioned it, Rocky. We both had it at number three. It won a damn Oscar for Best Picture. How's it not going to be in our top five, even as much as we may hate Philly? Number two, Bull Durham. I mean, so many classic lines in Bull Durham. Breathe through your eyelids. You know, the whole speech about cliches on the bus. It's a Costner baseball movie, so kind of by law, you have to include it in the list. Bull Durham is number two. And number one, it's what made me think of this whole list idea in the first place, because Bob Uecker died yesterday. Major League. That is the perfect sports movie. The sports are just realistic enough. It's funny. It's got a big emotional payoff at the end. It's everything you need in a sports movie, Cabali. I don't know how it's not in your top five.
And once again, a very unrealistic ending.
I mean,
Jake Taylor with the bunt.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Okay, but you have to at least admit that the sports scenes in Major League, they pull off like a B+ in realism.
I don't remember that many scenes of sports other than.
You got, what are you talking about? You got Willie Mays Hayes stealing bases and making catches. You got Charlie Sheen knew how to pitch. Like when he winds up and pitches, he looks like a major league pitcher. Like that Serrano, he looks like a major league hitter when he swings the bat. I think they pulled it off.
I wouldn't make it number one.
Well, that's why you're wrong. So those are our top five sports movies of all time.
I don't know.
You're not a fan of my list?
Well, Corbin Burnson wasn't really believable.
Strike this guy out. It's the best dub from dirty to clean in the history of film. You can clearly say he says MF-er from just reading his lips on the mound. And yet every single clean edit or dub of that movie, they try to change MF-er to guy. And it's the single worst / best clean dub or edit of a movie line in history.
Well, you got Ed Harris.
Barbasol, Vagisil.
He was like 75 at the time.
I know.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be in the top five, but I don't know.
It's number one as far as I'm concerned. Let's open. This would be another point where in the middle of the show, we would stop and we would tell you about one of our wonderful sponsors. Several people are interested. You could jump on board as well. We would sit here and tell you about a wonderful job they do and how we appreciate their support. And then we would jump right back into the conversation like we're going to do now with the mailbag. Kaboom. Are you ready? Because we've got a lot to get to.
Why is your screen so clear and mine's not?
I'm guessing it's probably the camera and your laptop.
I just bought this laptop.
The camera's probably not all that great. Do you choose 1080p when you log in?
I don't even know what the heck you're talking about. Settings. It says camera. It says FaceTime camera. Full definition, it says.
I don't know what to tell you, Kaboom. I don't know what to tell
you. It asked me to touch up my appearance. I don't know what that means.
The AI is on to something.
All right.
All right. You ready for the mailbag?
Let's rock and roll.
All right. I'm going to just start reading off the questions that came into our social media feeds when we posted mailbag time. And you can tell me which ones you answered in your column for Pat, and people can go to your Twitter feed and read them there or illuminate us further if you'd like to. I'm just going to go in order. Clearly, this is Zach Gentry's burner account because SFI and a whole bunch of numbers said, you think we should sign Zach Gentry helping a run block game? There's 37 tight ends on this team already. That's not an option, correct?
No. Plus the guy you have replaced him is a much better blocker than he was. And Darnell Washington.
Darnell.
So there's a fit net.
Are they going to actually throw the ball to him a significant amount next year? Like,
probably
it feels. Not. Why?
He is what he is. You know, well, he was perfect this year early, midway through the season. Some of those delay releases, some of those bootlegs to get him the ball early in the game, try to run somebody over. If you're looking for anything more than that, that's just not what he is.
I've seen the man catch the ball in the back of the end zone at training camp before. Like, he can move.
Well, he's a monster of a human.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that.
They need to use him more in the red zone, especially.
Maybe they bring Gentry in and get rid of Mike Cole Pruitt.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
Probably not. He's an Artie Smith guy. Berg Sports 412 wants to know if they'll move on from Pat Meyer or Terrell Austin. You tell me. I think if they were going to do either one of those things, they'd have done it by now.
Yeah. Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, they could have told him, but they just haven't made it public until, 4 o'clock on a Friday, for all we know. I mean, if there's one guy that I would expect over the other, I would think it would be Meyer. Just for the fact that he's I know he has 1 year left on his contract. Assistants get 2 years, and I believe he just re-signed last year, so he got a year left. He doesn't make it nearly as much as, say, a coordinator, and that does come into play here a little bit. But when you have that type of talent on the offensive line, and that talent did not get better in certain points, although he has to be recognized for what he did with Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick.
Yeah.
And to a degree, Spencer Anderson. But that big number 77 just sitting there. Whatever he was trying, working, just did not get through to his head.
And can't we put that on Broderick Jones, though? Like, isn't that on him?
Well, yeah. I mean, what Mike Tomlin said before is, maybe you're just, I mean, you can't blame it on the players. Sometimes you're just maybe not a good coach, or you may not a good teacher. Maybe whatever he's trying with Roger Jones is just not working. I think Pat's a pretty good offensive line coach.
I think so, too. That's why I say that, because Pat Meyer doesn't force Broderick Jones to jump off sides or take a terrible holding call.
But when you're promising changes.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us are looking at the same two spots. I mean, I probably wouldn't get rid of Pat Meyer, but it doesn't mean they won't.
Yeah.
As for Austin, I don't think they're going to get rid of him. No.
Does it really matter? That's the next question that a lot of people are going to have. Does it really matter? Because Mike's calling the defenses anyway.
It depends. I mean, I think we've seen in the past them bringing in, we talked about this, a senior defensive assistant. I don't see how you can go wrong on that front.
So I will say, we talked about Saleh. You guys can go back to the second episode, the one from Wednesday, January 15th, if you want to hear us talk about that in a little more detail. But Saleh is in Dallas today. I think he meets with them tomorrow. And he's going one other place, I think, for a head coach's interview. If he doesn't get either one of those, and I doubt he gets the Dallas job, like I think they're now in bring in guys so that we can check boxes and make the hire that we want to make Kellen Moore next week. Because I think Dion blew him off. But If Robert Saleh is still around, like middle of next week, looking for a gig, that's got to be the move. Bring him in, like you said, as that senior defensive assistant, like they did with Flores a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm just totally ignoring you because I'm looking at the comments coming into the right here.
We'll bring him in a second.
I tended to, you know, we've only done three of these. I'm already tuning you out.
ADD. Good job.
No ADD.
All right, let's go to the comments then. Let's go to Mike on YouTube. What does the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver room look like next year? Those are multiple rooms, Mike. Fields, Warren, RB1, is Pickens back?
Well, I think you pretty much hit it on the button right there. I think Fields will be back. I think Warren will be running back one. I think they'll supplement that with a draft pick, maybe in the second round. And I think once they work through free agency and realize they're not going to find anybody who's worth a damn.
Pickens is back.
It's free agency that Pickens will be back as well. Now they could add somebody else. Like, I just threw Christian Kirk out there just for the fact that they were in, you know, mere hours away from acquiring him before he broke his collarbone. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine they're still interested in a guy like that. But, I mean, this Pickens thing is very fluid. I think what happens in free agency then affects what happens down the road as well. I mean, I say just for, you know, just for argument's sake, they get T. Higgins, right? Just for argument's sake.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you want to dump George Pickens at that time, or you want to trot out George Pickens and T. Higgins for one season here and say, let's roll?
Well, no, like, that's – I said this the other day. Like, Pickens is a headache. But if you can rein the headache portion in just a little bit, that talent is undeniable. Like, him dropping three passes in a game is an anomaly. Like, that's not going to happen all that often. Now, the other side of the coin in that argument would be maybe he's dropping passes because he's disengaged and uninterested late in the year when they're getting their asses handed to him. I don't know. You have no other receivers on this team. So even if you go out and get someone the level of T. Higgins, or like we said, Devontae Adams flirting with the idea on Kay Adams' show the other day. Like, even if you go out and get a premier number one wide receiver, which I would consider Higgins to be on any roster but the one that he's currently on, you still got to have a number two. Yeah. And I'd rather have that number one and Pickens as a number two to that guy than that number one, and then we fall all the way down to whoever, to Calvin Austin is the number
but two. But aren't you then suggesting that you're this close of going on a Super Bowl run?
No, how so?
Because, I mean, you're grabbing T. Higgins, then you're thinking, oh, I got this T. Higgins and George Pickens. I mean, obviously, hypothetically speaking, then we're going to be better than next year, and now we're going to make a run for it. Okay. Or do you dump George Pickens and say, okay, let's supplement him with some draft picks and some capital and see if we can move forward on that. So I think if you keep both of them, you're saying we can win now.
I don't think you are. I think you're just trying to capitalize on the final year of Pickens' deal. That's the way I would look at it. And you let him walk after that. And you've probably invested so much in whoever the premier elite number one wide receiver is that you bring in, T. Higgins or otherwise, that they're here for multiple years. And hopefully helping whoever your quarterback is, Justin Fields or some other young guy who you go out and get in the next 2 years, come along. I don't know. Maybe that's but that would be my answer to what the wide receiver room looks like. It's like you said, Fields is back at quarterback, Warren at running back, Pickens at wide receiver. And then I don't know what that gives them. That also, I'll point this out, that aligns with the way Omar, I think, likes to go into the draft. Without having to pick a certain position in the first round.
They've done that years past.
Yeah.
They try to get everything.
They set up insurance policies at a bunch of positions.
No, that's the way you have to. It's tough with quarterback because,
yeah,
I mean, you better have your starter in hand before you go into that draft. Hey, they got enough money too, man. They're anywhere between, you know, 40 million, 35, 40 million projected. I know they got to pay the quarterback and potentially pay Watt, but those first year hits shouldn't be that terrible. So they can go out and make some splashes if they want to.
All right. Another one from YouTube. Call me Dubstep. All right. We'll call you Dubstep. That's your name on YouTube. What are the Steelers' biggest three needs? And what, if you were in their position, Kaboom, What'd you do about it? Who'd you bring in, move on from, et cetera? I think we just went over some of that. We didn't address the defensive side of the ball. And I also think there's a difference. This is really important because you kind of wrote about this in the first line of your mailbag for your column today. Like, there's really reality and there's what we think. Like, you can think all you want that Mike Tomlin shouldn't be the head coach anymore. If you're one of those people that thinks that, that's great. You can think that. It's not going to happen. We can think all we want that they should go out and get T. Higgins, for example. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do it because reality says they probably won't. So three biggest needs, kaboom, other than, I mean, it's got to be figuring out quarterback, wide receiver, and what? Running back. I mean, it's those three positions that that we were just asked about by the last guy, right?
Well, Mike. I would say, you know, if Zach Frazier snaps the ball right now, there's nobody behind him to grab it.
Right.
I would say quarterback would be number one. You have to figure that out. I mean, you would think that Justin Fields, if they offered him, would come, but there's no guarantee with that. I mean, maybe he had a bad experience here. Maybe he's still PO'd that he got yanked after six games. Maybe somebody else throws some money at him. Maybe Russell wants to go to New York or something. I don't know where he had an opportunity to go last year. So I think quarterback is by far number one need. After that, you have to look at maybe not only corner, but somebody who can play nickel, man. They've been really struggling at that position recently. I don't know if you can really consider Beanie Bishop as a guy who's going to be the next Mike Hilton. Okay, he's a good piece.
Mm-hmm.
They use nickel a lot. So I think that would be up there, nickel slash corners. If somebody could somehow play both, that would be the ultimate goal right now. And I think
they've got to get younger up front on defense too. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's pretty. Yeah, that
they've done a lot of work in the front seven on defense over the last couple of years. So. Benton, Wilson, Herbig.
That's what I think is going to happen on defense. They're going to kick Benton on the outside, take over for Ogunjobi. Maybe bring in a free agent nose tackle, one of those big guys. I mean, if it's B.J. Hill, one of those big pluggers in the middle where all he needs to do is play like 30% of the snaps.
Okay.
I think that's what they do there. I mean, I think their linebackers are pretty much intact. I think their safeties will stay intact, and I think you're going to go with Trice on the outside, at least initially. I mean, quarterback has to be one for me. Wide receiver has to be two, and nickel slash corner has to be three at this point. I mean, running back's probably at four if we're going four. I mean, Jaylen Warren, I mean, what is the most he's ever toted the ball in his career?
I really like Jaylen Warren, but I think it's got to be more of a 50-50 split with him and whoever the other guy is. Yeah. I did see somebody else question, and I can't find the exact question now because literally there's like 150 of them here. But somebody did ask about what they think Najee's contract may look like when he hits free agency. If Najee sits out there on the open market for a little while, I wouldn't have a problem bringing Najee back in the kind of timeshare that he had with Jaylen Warren if it's on a, you know, basically half of what he made this year.
You know, I don't think these guys do themselves any favors by not revealing injuries. He was banged up. I just don't know how much he was banged up. So maybe that played into why he struggled down at the end of the season. So I think somebody will take him. You're already hearing rumbles about Vegas could be a guy, a place where he would
desperate for a running back.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas. Who do they even have? I mean,
like Amir Abdullah and who else? I don't even know. The fact they let Josh Jacobs walk was just insane.
You know, honestly, if you look at, well, I don't know how you pronounce it. I say Spot Track if it's Sport Track, whatever it is.
Is it Spot Track, Spot Rack? I don't know, whatever. Spot contract
rack,
site.
Rack, whatever. They have Najee Harris's market value signing. 3 for 27.5. That's almost over $9 million a year.
They're pretty accurate though with their market values.
What they do, and well, depends. I remember a couple years ago, what was that? What was the cornerback's name from Buffalo? Levi Wallace. They had him in some crazy number, like 14 a year, and he ended up getting like two here. I was the one that it was like, whoa, this wasn't even close. But they do some sort of formula and base it off of that. So you have to imagine they're in the ballpark right there. I don't know if I would give him 3 for 27, but.
No, I'd give him 3 for 18-ish.
Hey, somebody's going to pay him. I mean, look at last year. I mean, 5 or 6 running backs went off the board in the first round, of first minutes of free agency, anywhere between 6 and 10 million. So I would assume that other teams are interested in him. So I find it hard to believe he'd be back.
Yeah. This is a crazy one. Nate on YouTube says, what are the chances we see Big Mike as the OC in Pittsburgh? I assume he means McCarthy. I mean, it's a hell of an idea. Unless but I don't see it.
Remember the Titans. No, that would be the other one. Blindside, Big Mike.
Yeah.
Michael Orr. I don't think Michael Orr is an offensive coordinator. I think there's no chance. I think Big Mike's going to get a coaching job somewhere.
Do you think Arthur Smith ends up walking out? Like, not walking out, like leaving, like, hey, I don't want to be here anymore, but like ends up getting an offer that's worth him leaving?
No.
No?
I think I don't think he's going to get a head coaching job, and he's under contract here, so it's not like they're going to let him out of it. So I think he'll be back.
All right.
Big Art. Maybe shave the mustache for next year, though, right?
He does. I heard Pony mention this the other day on The Fan. He does look a lot older than he really is. Like, if you asked me sight unseen to guess how old Arthur Smith is, I'd be like, I don't know, 48. What is he? He's like,
I have no idea.
10 years younger than that, isn't he?
I really don't know. I've never felt the need to Google Arthur Smith's age.
He's 42. He looks like a 50-year-old cop that just got promoted off of third shift and is happy that he gets to work daylight now.
You almost just described me, but.
I mean, there are pictures of Arthur Smith where he just hit. Hey, I'm not a good-looking man, and I have a lot of gray hair for my age. I'm 45, but like he looks like he's 10 years older than me, I think.
Well, you know what? Counting all that money he has.
Yeah, made him old.
The old man maybe makes him a little bit looking old.
That's fair.
His net worth is more than,
Yeah.
How about that? Your head coach.
At FedEx, money goes a long way.
Yeah, your head coach is like making 16, 17 a year, and he's probably like, that's chump change.
Yeah, that's what he spends on cars in a year. So Nate popped back in on YouTube just to say that if Arthur Smith stays, that means Justin Fields is back since he wanted him all along, correct? Are we sticking with that, Mark?
I mean, the stuff you hear, right? You hear that he liked him better. And once again, I don't know Justin's feelings. I tried to talk to him the other day, and he was not interested in talking. So it's hard to get a read on what he really wants to do. But as we went over the other day, there's 8 teams that are looking for quarterbacks. As we said, there could be 4 or 5 go in the draft, but some of those teams better make sure they have somebody in place before that. So maybe he finds it's a better opportunity, more money somewhere else. I tell you one thing, if Justin Fields, before I even have any conversations, I would say Mike, Art. Well, how many arts there are?
Too many.
I'm QB1, right? Period. No pole position, none of this crap, or I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah, he doesn't want to have to fight for it. No, because he can go get a job somewhere else rather than have to fight for it somewhere else. Oh, it was Dean who asked about bringing Najee back on a second contract, but you already brought that up.
Is that the pitcher for the A's?
Mason, yeah, probably. love the sweatshirt, Kabali. Hashtag for the brand. Good work by you.
Are you talking about 105, Mason? What?
Wayno wants to know, are the Steelers considering Aaron Rodgers? That's a big fat no, correct?
Let's hope not. I don't think so. I mean, you put one and one together, you know, the wink nods by Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers. But once again, if you bring him in there, you're saying you're a championship caliber team right now. I don't even know if there's any definitive answer if he's even going to come back or retire. So I would say that he would be way down on the list, although I would welcome him with open arms.
Okay, from Roe Busy on X, is Jalen Milroe a viable option in this year's draft?
I haven't even gotten into the draft a lot of where he might be
slotted. You better catch up, man. No, people like me and Tone, we've been looking at mock drafts for like a month and a half now.
You can look at the mock draft, but until you go combine, until you go pro days, you don't know really where they're going to slot at. Is he a first rounder, a second rounder, or a sixth
rounder? There's no way Jalen Milroe's a first rounder.
That's what I'm saying.
He's a second day guy.
Until he throws the ball 84 yards and runs a 4.2, then all of a sudden it's different.
Okay. What else? Couple more Steelers questions, because then we have other random questions too I wanted to get to. Tomlin, Pat Meyer, Terrell Austin, Tomlin, Pickens. I mean, there's a lot of the same stuff in here. Yeah. How did you find 20 questions in all of this for your column?
No, most of it. Why don't you make Mike Tomlin talk?
Why are you guys intimidated by him? Oh, we're not. We're just.
He was asked the same question 12 different ways the other day, and he answered it. He wouldn't answer it truthfully on all 12 different ways. What else you want me to do? Go up there and sit on him and twist his arm and make you gotta answer it? Because Joe from Blah Knox Woman says I need to make you answer it. I mean, he's a grown ass man. He's going to answer what he wants to answer. I can't do anything about it.
No, you're supposed to yell at him and point and say, answer the question like you're effing Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men.
Yeah, it's just, he's an 18-year veteran, been through enough of these things. He knows what I'm getting at before I get to it.
This was an interesting one. I can't find who sent it in now because I scrolled past it. But someone asked, do you think Hard Knocks had a negative impact in the final few weeks?
Absolutely not. I mean, I even answered that, I believe, in a way that Cincinnati, they had their most effective offensive performance of the season in Hard Knocks.
Teams react in different ways, Kaboom.
You rarely saw them. I mean, I saw them because I know who they were, but they were in the locker room with the rest of us. There's nothing unusual about it. You had, I don't know if it was a camera up in the corner of the team meeting room or whatever.
Right.
And you had the occasional jump into the team coach's meeting room or a interview with Watt or whoever, Tomlin. 95% of those guys probably didn't even know that Hard Knocks was there.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I just thought it was an interesting – it lines up, right? Like they started to go in the tank right around the same time Hard Knocks showed up. I think it'll be a convenient excuse – if we get into the offseason and Mike Tomlin's asked for like a little more access from media again, be like, well, I didn't like what happened when Hard Knocks was around. I could see that.
Alexis, she's on the Russ bandwagon.
She is, just like you. Was Russ set up for success since he didn't have the pieces around him? I mean, Russ did fine with the same pieces he had for 7 weeks in the middle of the season, I would argue, Alexis.
That running game was a little bit different midway through the season and end of the season.
Yeah, and you didn't have Pickens for a few weeks, too. I get it. I understand. But they had all those things going into Baltimore for the wild card game, and Russ still continued that bad habit of dancing around back there like he had tap shoes on. Like, for the 7 weeks that he was the starter and they went 6-1, he looked steady and calm in the pocket. Down the stretch, he looked like Kenny Pickett on speed. His feet would never stay still.
At least he didn't spin out of the pocket and try to throw the ball. But I'm sure a lot of that was from the weeks prior and him getting clobbered by some of these defenses where the offensive line struggled as well. I mean, set up for success. I guess you knew what you were getting into, right? There wasn't a ton of weapons around him.
Well, and I'd say, too, I don't think Justin Fields goes 6-1 during the 7-game stretch. But I also don't think Justin Fields goes 0-4 down the final month of the regular season. Like, I think the ability of Fields to get out of some of those situations and make something of them. Like, Justin Fields scores a touchdown on that scramble against the Ravens instead of fumbling the ball at the one.
Yeah, but Does he give up 30 points to the Chiefs or 300 yards rushing to the Ravens? I mean, this defense is getting the pass, man. I keep saying it. This defense is getting way too much of the pass by the locals.
The Lokes?
Lokes. The locals. The
local people yokels.
They want to complain about
these
Artie.
These guys are too soft on Tomlin. Ask him a hard questions.
I mean, this defense should not be giving up 300 yards rushing to anybody.
No, they look like they quit. Two more questions. Easy. Raw Dog Malone wants to know what the best sandwich is for a pocket heater.
Oh, that's an old Pat one. I'm going with Rudy Subs because that's the only pocket sandwich I had before. I did pocket cookies before.
Ooh. Ooh.
But you know what? If you look way back, maybe a decade ago, see, it's a Steelers cafeteria. At the time, they didn't want you to bring out any food. They had, you know, rodent issues.
Ah.
At least that's what they told us, to not bring out food. So I would sneak cookies in the pocket. So I didn't want to throw it all the way down in the pocket because you know what's in your pocket of your jeans. Who knows?
Lint.
So I had it sticking out.
A bunch of nasty.
Yeah, I had it sticking out a little bit, and I walked out, and D'Angelo Williams saw it. That was the funniest thing in the world, and he actually took a picture and posted it. So if you can find it somewhere, probably, of me, like, with a cookie halfway out of my pocket.
Scarpizio didn't yell at you for that?
I don't even know if he was around at that point.
Man, we're going way back then. I'll answer your question, Malone. It's Pepe's, indisputably.
How about one of those battleships from?
They're good, but they're too big. You're not shoving that in a pocket.
That's what I'm saying. That would be interesting, though.
Yeah, it'd look like you have a log in your pocket.
You grew up in the '90s with those big baggy jeans. You can probably shove one in there. Right.
You didn't grow up in the '90s.
I didn't wear the baggy jeans like that.
Okay,
I went to Hills and got the Wranglers.
Bro, I was going. My mom was dragging me to Gabe's. Okay, again, North Baldwin, not Whitehall. Gabe's, all right, big difference.
Gabe's did a nice turnaround of being when you'd go there, you'd pick up a shirt and there'd be like a huge hole in it.
Yeah,
I don't think they do that anymore.
I don't know. I haven't been there in a while. It always smelled like hot dogs, though. like Christina Aguilera smells like hot dogs. Jack wants to know if the Steelers are coming to Ireland in 2025. Does it?
Yeah. I don't think Mexico. I mean, to me, Mexico would have been the ultimate place. I mean, they got the fans in Mexico have been loyal for 50 years, right?
Did you see, by the way, I saw it posted yesterday. There is a Steelers themed KFC in Mexico City.
That would not surprise me. I think that's the insane issue there is old Stadium Azteca might not be ready because they were redoing it all.
Oh, yeah.
So Steelers have the 9 home games. Of course, they want to go to Ireland.
Well, they just announced the Dolphins this morning for Spain. Like, we're going to get to a point where there's an international game every week of the year.
You know, I've never went over to one. They played in London in what, 04? I did not go. '04, 14 or something. After, whenever they played the Vikings. Is that the only time they went
over? That was, yeah, I mean, that's the last time they were over. Yeah, that's, it's been a while.
They lost and went
over. Has it been 10 years?
It was late on his rookie year, I believe.
Holy hell, I didn't realize it'd been that long.
I think it's the only time, but they have to give up a home game now, so, I mean.
Well, it sounds
it sounds like it's going to be Ireland.
That would be awesome for Jack, who lives over in the UK. Alexis, Jack, who just commented on YouTube, keep up.
Jack Rubio.
Yeah, and Alexis also wanted to know about Arthur Smith's play calling predictability. Run, run, pass, run, run, pass, run, run, pass.
Do you think he does that on purpose, or do you think he was told to do that?
Ooh.
That's all I'm just suggesting. I mean, get him in third and medium, run the ball, don't turn the ball over.
When it's not working, though, you got to pivot.
Not if the boss tells you not to pivot.
Is Mike Tomlin really jumping on headsets mid-game?
I don't know.
Telling Arthur Smith to go run, 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 run more, run more, run more. Coach, we're down 3 touchdowns.
I'm sure when they sit there in their meetings of game plans, they have it, hey, we want to run this, this, and this. stick to it. I doubt if he's on the headset and saying, you know, 24 toss power trap on this play, you know. But I think that's pretty much known before they even go into the game.
Just take toss out of the playbook. One more question, and then we're going to wrap it up because we're at like an hour now. This is getting ridiculous.
Everybody's jumping in now.
Well, I mean, do you want to answer more then? Do you want to keep going?
I don't know. Depends on who has a good question.
Anybody a man know? Of the people. Zachary Smith, who does that Steelers podcast every afternoon with Saunders. He wants to know our predictions for the final four in the men's and women's Royal Rumbles. I mean, Cena, just check it's it loaded. Off.
It's loaded, man. It's absolutely loaded. And they haven't even really said too many about the women so far, but I mean, you got Roman, you got, I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to say Jacob Fatu will be in there.
I love you. Solo.
Yeah, I think a big night tonight, Friday night.
Yeah.
Solo comes back. Let's see if Jacob accepts him or kicks him out. It's a big night. I would say Cena. I might think Randy Orton.
Cena's
going
to win it. Back. They're going to set something up for Cena against Cody.
Jacob and somebody probably weird. I don't know. Maybe Grayson Waller or something like that.
You know what's something to keep an eye out for? I just saw this yesterday. They signed this new agreement WWE did with TNA where they're going to be lending talent back and forth. I would not be the least bit surprised to see a Joe Hendry entry in the Royal Rumble. Say his name and he appears.
I believe in him. That's one guy you got to believe in.
Yeah.
Although Joe Hendry was at his highest in the summer. You haven't seen much of Joe Hendry lately. Maybe they're waiting.
That's what I mean.
Imagine the Rumble all of a sudden.
Can you imagine the pop when Joe, when that music hits at the Rumble, the clock's counting down. Boom, three, two, boom. And then bang, the music hits. The place will go apeshit.
Yeah. As for the women, I would say Charlotte Flair might be.
That's a good call.
She could be making her return.
Nia's got to be in the Rumble, right?
Yeah, I think she declared the other day. I thought she did. Maybe your girl Tiffy.
Tiffy doesn't need to be in the Rumble. She got the strap, bro.
Unless she loses it tonight to Bayley.
She's not losing it to Bayley. Bayley winning the Rumble, although that's back-to-back years, right?
Well, that's happened before. Cody's won a back-to-back.
Yeah. Bayley winning the Rumble and going after Tiffy. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Why? What? You want to see Maxine Dupuy versus Tiffy?
I think Maxine probably. Maxine, Tiffy, and Liv in a triple.
Maybe Ludwig Kaiser, now I think about it, in the men final four. He deserves
the Rumble? You know what? That actually, I don't think this is interesting. You've gone down a path here. Ludwig Kaiser wins the Rumble and goes after Gunther.
Ooh.
Huh?
I'm thinking Sheamus Braun Breaker is going to be WrestleMania, right? For the IC strap. Who's Gunther going to face?
That's what I'm saying. Unless Cena wins the Rumble and goes after Gunther instead of...
Gunther could face... what's his face? What's his name? My Ooh. Goodness, my Come mind on. Shocked.
Priest
Goldberg.
Again?
Goldberg.
Oh, I have heard the rumblings of Goldberg. Yeah.
Yes, maybe Goldberg. So we'll see.
That's that. No offense to Bill Goldberg, but
you got one last match.
Goldberg versus a Goldberg Gunther. Anything between those two? I'll take a nap while they're on the mic.
I like to see Goldberg and Bret Hart. Bill Goldberg.
Charlotte, Io, Becky, Nia, final four, Zach says.
Ooh, Becky.
Becky making the comeback?
Yeah, it could be Becky.
Two comebacks in the final four of the Rumble?
Oh. See, Io Sky, I mean, she's just been on the cusp of greatness. But
she had the belt for a little while last year. I mean, she just works the hell out of a match. She puts on a great show every time.
He's going Punk, Cena, Roman, and Drew. You're going freaking chalk. I'll throw a little bit in there.
I didn't say Drew necessarily.
No, Zachary Smith sure just did.
Oh, he did? Okay. Yeah, that seems a little too chalky. That's like Kabali's divisional round predictions.
It's like your top five movies.
Fair. If you missed anything today, this will be up on YouTube shortly. We appreciate you joining us live. We've gone over an hour now, and to be quite honest, we both have lives to lead that as much as we'd love to sit here and talk to you guys all day, we'll just do it. Maybe we'll do Open Forum Friday every week, Mark, and we'll take all the questions for the mailbag and throw as many out as we can, and hopefully 85 of them won't be about the unrealistic expectation that Mike Tomlin's going to get fired next week.
Yep, sounds good to me, Mac.
All right, this would ordinarily be where we would get one final illustrious sponsor read in, and then we would remind all of you to subscribe, follow, like on YouTube, on iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you get us. We will be back. We'll do it again Monday and talk about the divisional round games, maybe. And there's a national championship game, too. Ooh. We can do that.
Ooh, who's playing? Oh, your buddy's Ohio State. I forgot.
You're an ass.
Ohio State and Notre Dame. You hope both lose, don't you?
No, I'm rooting for Marcus Freeman to just absolutely put it on the suck eyes.
Even though Notre Dame beat you and it could have been you guys?
Shut up. I'm going to go now, okay?
All right, bye.
All right, see you guys. This has been Kabali and Mac.